Blog Talk Radio.
I've been doing some thinking lately, and I know and believe that God still works miracles. Yet I'm so very, very grateful for what some call the simple things. I just want to take a moment here. This is my prayer. Listen.
With Past Generation Lost in the Mix, Affected by Sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, Evangelist Missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders, member of the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the founder and pastor is District Superintendent Pastor Robert R. Sanders II. Top of the morning to you. It is 10:02 a.m. here in Chicago, and we are cold, y'all. We cold. Yes, so listen, you know Christmas is around the corner, and we are praying for everyone to have a blessed and safe holiday season. On this morning, I have in the studio with me live, which is none other than one of the top women in the Auburn-Gresham community, Apostle Bridget C. Outlaw, who is the founder of Daughters of Destiny and New Global Ministries. I tell you, she is a danger to society on the southwest side of Chicago. Yes, guess what? And she's also our moderator instructor for the upcoming Power of Writing grants. I tell you, she has opened up a Learning Academy mentorship clinic. She's a part of Chicago, and she's also the Kingdom Entrepreneurial Consultant as well. She has so many names and titles up under her. You guys go to her Facebook. We'll be here all day long. But listen, I'm bringing her on, Apostle, Bishop Apostle. Hello. How are you doing
it's
on
so funny.
This morning?
I am. Wow, you're so funny. But I am privileged to be on your show. This morning, I am highly favored. I'm just grateful to God to be able to be on. And
yes,
I appreciate you letting me on.
Listen, I wanted you to be on because one of the things that I've learned, you know, we've known each other for 20 years because Malcolm would be 20. But one of the things I've learned
about
you.
Oh, you had to tell that, huh?
You had to tell it. I had to let him know. I had to be honest. Got to keep it real. One of the things that Apostle Outlaw, she's done, she's made herself notable in the community because she has a passion for souls. And oftentimes we don't have that within our communities. We see it in other culturistic and diversified communities, but we don't see it among us. And one of the things that I love about her is that she's passionate and she's a go-getter. That's one of the things that I deal with, the Redeemed Fellowship, as well as my husband and myself outside of the ministry. We have a purpose of basically meeting the needs of people. As you all, many of y'all know, we had a new release of the video for the Power of Grant Writing, which most churches and organizations need to be educated on. There is a difference. A lot of people, I texted a young lady yesterday, last night, Apostle Outlaw, and I told her, I said, listen, if anyone in your church is interested about, you know, learning how to write grants to be effective for the ministry, for the community, she automatically cut me short. Oh, we got somebody to do that. I was like, okay. she didn't ask the question. And I said, wow, so that lets me know, I don't know how, you know, what type of grant people are writing, because you have different people that say they know how to write grants. And then when you go to them, you're paying a mortgage only for them to talk about it and never show you. What inspired you to want to do grant writing for your business as well as for other major corporations?
I would have to say what really inspired me is being a, you know, a young girl at the young age. I was 18 years old just had got out of Percy L. Julian. I had attended Chicago State University in the Church of God in Christ, and, you know, seeing that God had something greater at 18 for my life. You know, I've always been in the church. My family always been in the church, always been spiritual. But I think it was something on the inside of me wanted to see churches everywhere grow at a deeper depth. And one day my mom took me, Mother Andrea Pointer took me to a church on the south side of Chicago, which was actually in the Roseland area. And they actually was having a grant workshop. And I was really impressed because I was like, you know, if the church is having a grant workshop, maybe this is something that, you know, my mother had been begging me to come to different church functions, but at 18, that really got my attention. When I walked in the church and saw all of those businesses set up, but I saw this woman of God that really, really drew me to grant writing, and she was talking about, you know, how churches can get grants and how churches can get money. And I remember asking my mom, I said, you know what, her book and the CDs are $100. Borrow me $100, and I'm going to get that book. And when I turned 19, I actually just started reading grant writing books, and I started perfecting the trade, going to school, taking classes. And today, 32 years later, I'm a grant writer. I'm excited.
All right. And that's able to be productive within the ministry that the Lord has given you to establish. Do you think in our area of the community with African-American churches, do you really think that they know how or what the purpose of the grant is?
Well, you know, I would have to say I didn't know. The Lord gave me a clear revelation of, I was thinking, you know, maybe we as Christians or we as Christian leaders, maybe we shouldn't mix business with the church. And the Lord profoundly corrected me and said, you know, I don't want you to come into ministry believing that only tithes and offering is going to get you where you need to be. And I think a lot of churches don't really understand that the only way that we can be effective, not only in our church, but in our community, is you have to know how to glean and get other money other than tithes and offering, because that's why a lot of our churches are closing our doors. And that's why most of our churches, we've been on 79th for 8 years, and we've open every day, Monday through Friday. But I hear a lot of churches say, you know what, how do you do that? That's impossible, because we only can open on Sunday. But if you only open on Sunday, you cannot really successfully affect and infect the community, because the community is in the community Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day. And the church is only open sometimes on Sunday for maybe 2 or 3 hours. And so I say grant writing is not only prevalent, but it's crucial that churches learn how to write grants and or get a successful grant writer. But I would say learn grant writing for yourself, because it's so much money that the government pours out on the community, especially African-American communities, impoverished communities. And so we're in the first in line to get certain things, but when there's major surplus coming to our community, we don't know how to get it.
That is another conversation my husband and I had the other night. We were talking about, you know, we just got a new building in the heart of Grant Crossing, borderline of Chatham. We met with Alderwoman Michelle Harris, wonderful woman to really meet. We reached out to her to ask her what is it that we can do to help her. And she told us, she said, you know, you all are the only church that really reached out to me. For some reason, men that are in pastoral leadership have a threat about a woman being in a high position, you know. But I told my husband, I said, listen, we're not going to talk about our denomination. Let's stick to the need of the community, because I find that a lot of pastors don't want to learn, but they want to send people. And the people that they send may not be well-versed in understanding or comprehending what the purpose of the grant is. He was very Apostle, about that when he met with Alderman Harris. And she's like, well, you know what? I need to do this because I want to write grants for my community. You follow what I'm saying? My community.
Yes.
And I said, well, hey, registration form, here we go. A lot of pastors, for some reason, in our community, don't want to learn how to
write. I won't say that,
Dr.
Katrina. I won't say they won't. They don't want to learn, because you know, then we putting them in the box. What I will say is I don't think they understand the paradigm of really, we look at mega ministries and we drool and we envy and we emulate and we try to copy. But what we don't understand is, in order to become successful, you have to have a different paradigm. We raising our children, we raising millennial babies, we raising, we are the baby boomer generation, but this millennium generation is the generation that we haven't been successfully attracting, because they are technology generation. They're a generation about, you know, they movers and shakers. So I wouldn't say that they don't want to learn. I say that the church sometimes can be so closed-minded of separating God from business. But remember, God is business. The cattle on a thousand hills belong to him. So I think it's more so ignorance, and not that they don't want to, because I believe that everybody want to be successful. I believe that everybody want their community to be successful. But what I don't believe is they know how to get there. And that's why we're here on this phone today.
Right, exactly. And a lot of times when you have these programs, as I've been promoting the program since we started with Bring It to Redeem Fellowship, I explained to each and everyone, I said, you will learn how to write the grant. You will not be sitting there being spoken to in a lecture form as if you were in the college seminar. You will learn how to write it. Bring your pen, pencil, calculator, paper, notebook, whatever you got to bring. So you can learn how to literally write it, because a lot of pastors I've heard down through the years, I need somebody to write me a grant. But what type of grant? A lot of them don't know. What grants are out there available for these pastors to research once they come to the grant
writing? But now you
said
something key. You opened up Pandora's box for me, but not in a bad way, in a good way. You said something key. One thing that we as leaders don't know how to do is we have to learn how to empower ourselves, because sometimes you may not always have a person who you can go to. For example, I know a lot of leaders who pay grant writers, and grants are very grants are very extensive. So when you pan someone, you must empower yourself to know what he or she is writing, because I see so many churches shy away from grant writers because a lot of them have gotten stung, have paid $5,000 and $10,000 and $15,000. So grant writing is not a taboo. What it is empowerment. It's a tool to get your food pantry inside of your church. It's a tool, in actuality, to stay open longer than Sunday for 2 or 3 hours. It's a tool to have full-time a community development corporation. So I think the myth is a lot of times we as leaders, we don't really realize that the key to all of this is to empower ourselves. And grant writing is such an empowerment tool, because I was like other leaders when I first, before I started writing for Daughters of Destiny, I was out there searching on the World Wide Web trying to find grant writers. And I would stay up 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and my husband, like, you need to go to sleep, because what are you doing? And I told him, he said, but why don't you, you already have that power to write grants. Why don't you just step out on faith? And at 19 years old, that's what I did. I started writing. I didn't start big. I started small. And my first grant, I got rejected, and the Lord began to deal with me at 19 years old. He said, you don't look at rejection as being a failure. Look at rejection as being a stepping stone to where you need to go. So for every failure letter that I got, I would keep them and retailor my grants. And today, we're talking about rewind 33, almost 34 years later, I'm a very successful grant writer. A lot of times churches ask, well, how could you operate your food pantry, and we service 3,500 people every 30 days, and it's operated based on, you know, I understand how to write grants. I understand how to really empower the community, because realize we have preached the hell out of people for so long, but the community is sick with needs. And so if we fulfill a need, then they will be drawn to our churches. A lot of times we block them from coming to Jesus because we don't have anything. They may come to church hungry, and we have to guess, you know, they have a hunger look on their face, and we don't use our discernment, and so we have to guess, well, somebody in this building hungry, instead of saying, wait a minute, maybe that sister that came in with those 7 kids, maybe they need some food.
That's the truth.
So I would say grant writing is empowerment.
It's empowerment. With the power of writing the grant, your classes, do share with the listening audience what your classes detail of.
Well, my classes first detail one of the most important components of grant writing is, are you a 501c3 not-for-profit organization? Because you actually literally can't get a grant if you're not 501c3, if you don't have your 501c3 papers from the IRS. So that's one of the components we deal with. We don't just dive in and divvy into grant writing. We talk to you about how to become 501c3. So if you're not, that's what one of the components of grant writing. The second component is how to build a successful board in order to be an excellent 501c3 corporation. Then after we talk about a successful board, we talk and help you in that little small window of the classes how to write successful articles of incorporation, how to write bylaws and articles of incorporation, because I talk to a lot of churches that tell me that the articles of incorporation mirror their church, but the church is automatically 501c3. But in order to operate a community, a community development corporation where you can empower and help the community with coats and shoes and food. Your articles of incorporation can't be the same of how you incorporated the church. So we talk about articles of incorporation. We talk about bylaws. We talk about having a very strong mission statement, because most grant writing, the reason why a lot of times grant writers are successful is because the mission statement is powerful. Then we talk about vision statement. Then we talk about, after we talk about all of those components, then we dive into online evaluations and online surveys that will help the community and help the community and the churches to see, maybe is this my community that I should supposed to be in, because I'm on West 79th. And a lot of times people say, you know what, you would have been more successful in the Inglewood community. But you have to do evaluations and surveys to determine where is the best place for your not-for-profit organization. Because if you are zoned in an area that needs the commerce and needs the surplus, then that's more grants you receive. But if you in a, like say for instance, your church is in Beverly and your not-for-profit organization is in Beverly, or you in Orleans, it's going to be impossible to write a grant and to determine that Orleans and Beverly have a need. So my grant writing classes talk about not only grant writing and being a successful 501c3 non-for-profit organization, but we talk about how you can get in-kind donations, how if you if you don't get the grant this time, it still won't stop your purpose. We also, in our grant writing class, talk about how you can ask different major corporations, because there's a Community Development Act that most pastors and most leaders don't know, the Community Development Act. And that's something that I talk about at least for 15.1 minute in my classes, because we can preach well, that's excellent, but the Community Development Act states that these larger corporations must give to not-for-profit organizations. So when you empower with that tool alone, and you have read the 15, 20, or 30 pages of the Community Development Act, you also know how to arm yourself. Because I hate no for answer. I hate for corporations to tell me, we ran out of money, we're not giving today. And I arm them with, I know the Community Development Act. I know what they have. I look at their shareholders' report. I know the percentage of money that they're supposed to give to the community. So that's, I cover, my grant writing classes are very extensive because I have 32 years of strong experience, not only as a grant writer, but as an instructor of teaching grant writing on multiple levels.
And a lot of pastors that are inquiring about that, I'm finding out, Apostle Outlaw, that a lot of churches, regardless of what denomination, do not have the 501c3. To utilize your national church's 501c3 is not doable for what you're trying to do. A lot of pastors feel that, oh, I can get whatever I want to get because I'm operating under that. But see, a lot of them, particularly Apostle Outlaw, you know, let's be real, with the Church of God in Christ, they don't build or establish churches. You come in at your own risk. So if you are Veronica X and you decide to have Veronica X Ministries, Church of God in Christ, you're coming in and you're chartering under them. A lot of them don't understand the business terms of knowing what a charter is, versus being affiliated with versus owning. If you come in, you own your own. If you get with another denomination, you are chartering, affiliated with that denomination. They don't bill you.
But
they don't.
But wait a minute. You said something key when God called pastors, when God called apostles, when God called bishops, when God called the fivefold ministry officer, those are leader gifts. Those are gifts that lead out. So when you talk about charter, you really don't need to successfully use another person's charter because they give out the IRS. As long as you're a pastor leader, as long as you're a leader, you don't need to come under anybody's umbrella to get a 501c3. And sometimes it's best not to use, it's best not to use their charter because the IRS and the state tax exemption, they give it out to any leader. You don't necessarily need to be under a big umbrella because you can get it yourself. And one of the things why it's sometimes not good to, if you are under the umbrella, it's best to use your own because we're talking about now accountability. And so sometimes whoever that umbrella is, they may not be fiscally responsible to handle money. And so if they get a grant and they divvying the money down to you, you really don't know how the money is supposed to be given. So I tell anybody, you know, you could be your own fiscal sponsor to get a 501c3. It's really not rocket science. I advise all pastors never to pay nobody $1,000, $500 because they have a streamlined IRS in 2015 decided that it was taking so long for people to become 501c3 approved. So they created a streamlined application that's so simple. You can do it in one sitting. I would say before you do it, consult someone that, you know, already have done it so you won't make mistakes. And then once you sit down, it takes all of 15, 20 minutes. And once you do that, because you no longer have to get the IRS booklet, the 1023 application, and fill out 100 pages and send 1,000 attachments, that streamlined application only takes 15 and 20 minutes. As long as you have a Visa card or a credit card with your money on it and you already have your articles of incorporation established, your bylaws established, and you have the state seal and they already recorded at the recorder of deeds, you have your name already secured, then you're good to go. So I tell people, you know, it's really not, you know, the reason why a lot of times people hold it over people's head as a secret, it's really not a secret. It's they don't want, some people really don't want to come to the people that are already successful and already know.
Right, exactly, exactly. And that's the thing that with a lot of our churches, period, we're stuck. We don't want to read. We don't want to research. So now with the grant writing, it opens doors. Apostle Outlaw has several relationships with a lot of outreach community programs. How can pastors, once they obtain their legal 501c3 under their church, how are they able to do the same thing that you are involved in with outreach community programs?
Well, you know what? It is, that is a art and not a science. And like I said, my doors are usually open, and I'm willing to help any pastor that wants to learn. As of today, we started Daughters of Destiny 20 years ago out of the basement of my home. And then after 20 years, we later became a church, and then we later continued Daughters of Destiny. For 20 years, you know, I've accumulated 1,001 business corporation partners. So it's really not a science, but it's an art. And I can teach pastors how to get that relationship with corporations and with the government, where you do everything above water, where you don't have to worry about if your books are not right. I show pastors or 501c3 organizations how to really get there. And it took me blood, sweat, tears, praying, fasting, crying, almost ready to give up. But it, like I said, it's a trade that anybody, I've just been blessed to perfect it, but I'm a perfectionist, but anybody can perfect it.
Anyone can perfect it.
Anybody.
I think I have
a not a person that can't learn.
That can't learn. That's education is power. Knowledge is power. Pastor Sanders, District Superintendent Sanders II, I see you have made it on the conference call. We're getting ready to shut it down for a moment, but go ahead, Pastor Sanders. Are you there?
Yeah, very quickly. Just want to say good morning and hello, and God bless you, darling, and Apostle Bishop Richard Outlaw.
God bless you, man of God.
An outstanding person. In the community, and you know, thank God for your service and for your ministry and how you minister to all the people that you deal with that's in need, and also for your contribution to the body of Christ. God bless you. I just wanted to chime in and let y'all know that I was listening. I'm yet here at work providing a service to the community as well, and you know what you're doing. Apostle, it's just very wonderful. It's very exciting, and
very
I'm
much.
Glad that we can partner up with you part of that. It's a lot bigger than you, and thank God that you recognize that and for your humility. That's all I got to say, because y'all know, don't put a mic in my hand. I'll run with it.
Well, thank you, Pastor
Bless
Sanders.
You.
Give everyone over at South Suburban Housing my love and my hello. And listen, Apostle Outlaw, we appreciate the time that you've taken
thank
out of your
so
business
much.
to pre-educate those who need to know about grant writing. Once again, the grant writing sessions for the power of grant writing will be held at the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, located at 860 East 75th Street at the corner of 75th and Drexel, January 21st, 28th, February 4th, from 10 to 2. Those are Saturdays. So if you all can rearrange your schedule to come and partake, the tuition for this class course is $225. You have an option to take the first part, which is a couple of days, for $150. The third part will actually give you the more enforcement of learning how to write the grant. They will be there, along with Pastor Outlaw and her team, will be there to assist you. Bring your pen, paper, calculator. If you got tape recorders, bring it so you can learn how to write the grant, and you will learn physically. You will be also graceful with a luncheon during those sessions. And I think that for this type of course, should be more, but understand that with the experience and the training and the certification that Apostle Outlaw have taken, this grant program, Apostle, costs you what, close to $1,500 or more?
It'll cost you, if you're taking it right and going into the $1 million grant writing, it will cost you $5,000.
Woo! So
that's
you're getting
how much
this.
It successfully costs.
See?
If you walking, you walking away with over 20 handouts in just this little small session.
Right, right. So $225 is nothing compared. You spend that much on one suit.
That's right.
As Apostle Outlaw would say, invest in your mind and not your behalf.
That's right.
Listen, we gotta go, but thank you all, and thank you, Apostle
so
Outlaw, for taking the time for y'all.
God
thank
bless
you all.
You. Thank you for having
in.
Me.
God bless you. Have a wonderful, blessed weekend. Until next time, be blessed. And remember, we do need freedom in this world from everything that is suppressing us as a people. God bless.
and my heart can't take it no more. Like Stevie said, love's in me. My heart cries out for Orlando, Orlando, Alton, Sandra, Mike Brown, Garner, Trayvon. Why? Too many people gone too soon. Tell me how this happened. Where did we go wrong? Say we stay together if we choose to walk alone. Back up the south streets, hatred fills our home. Gotta get this message out before I'm dead and gone. We gotta make it better. Something's gotta change. The world needs your voice just to make it through the rain. When I think of what's going on in this world, all it asks me to see my sister not free. My sister, my brother here with me. Need freedom. The world is crying. No more silence, guns and violence.
Need freedom.
Can't keep dying. We're way too quiet. No more silence.
Need freedom.
Stop this evil.
And think about all that's going on. My soul just cries out.
Can you tell me, please? Tell me who's to blame for causing all this pain? The ones we call to help us turn, they kill us every day. See, war is not the answer.